title again?
Anja de lo lebi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Okay, we're going to stop there. That's Jeremiah in the background. Play a clip of his another time. I'm just telling you, go and listen to Mad Men Podcast. They put so much love and time and passion into it, and they treat these characters as if they are so real. Like, what's going to happen to Pete? And feeling sorry for Roger because the women are giving him such a hard time. And it's so neat not just to watch a television show, but to watch it and do just that thing that he says so many people don't like to do. Pick it apart. Analyze it. He's giving credit to the writers, the directors, to the actors, and saying, fuck, guys, you've knocked this one out of the park. And I think they really have with Mad Men. But I would say the one thing about America, for all its faults, God damn, I don't know who does a better job of entertaining. You're saying, well, it's because you haven't traveled and been other places. I'm not talking about just the Hollywood big blockbusters, although I loved, as you know, Iron Man 3. But the television, I mean, think of, remember Deadwood and Breaking Bad and shows like this in their history. Like, there's something, there's some creative people in America just doing an amazing job with brilliant acting. And they deserve credit for that. They really do. So anyway, I am just home from downtown Toronto. I got a ticket to see Doug Benson, a pothead comedian who I never heard of. But Brian's son thought I should see him and had an extra ticket. So Brian and I went off to see him at the Comedy Bar. And it was good. And he had two other actors with him. And I don't remember their names. I could Google it and tell you or put links up if I wanted. They were good. And so it was kind of funny. It was entertaining. Had a beer, you know, and it was good. Okay. And then we start walking, and I said, my back, I forgot my back medication. I'm just going to stop into Christy Pitts there and have a toke, you know, fix my back up a little. Did that. Start walking to the subway because we're supposed to meet Anthony at 7:30. By now, it's already past 7. And I see Clinton's, the bar that I like. There's a bar that you go with a hearty, har, har. Now, there is a bar. And so in we go, corner seats at the bar, best seats possible. Yeah, I got a window view, two window views, you know, because it's right on the corner of the street. Fantastic. Two delicious waitresses. And a couple of pints and some very real, raw talk about personalities and life and what's the meaning. Well, in fact, some of which I may have recorded on my iPhone. So you may even get to hear a bit of that. And then finally, out of there, after a couple of pints and good talk, to the Rex, where we snuck in the back door anyway, but we didn't really sneak in. I'm not going to stand in this fucking line. Yes, I did say sneak in. In the front, come in here, there's Anthony, bam, we're in the back, you know. And of course, the guy came up, you're the guys who tried to sneak in. Yeah, no, just fucking, you know. I don't want to pay for the music because I'm not listening anyway, but if you're going to get $10 from me, here it is. Oh, that reminds me. Gee, Brian paid for that, too. I think I probably owe him a beer. Anyway, here we are at the Eglinton parking lot. You want to try that again? Would you prefer a clearer pronunciation? Well, we are here right now at, the stroke of 1 a.m. Sunday morning, June 2nd, at the Eglinton Go parking lot. I've just come from downtown. So, at the Rex, I have the pleasure of sitting beside that writer guy from Victoria. Yeah! Mike Vardy. And, of course, Anthony Marco's holding down the fort. And then, what's his name comes in? The bald guy, the comedian. Andrew. Funny his last name won't come to me right now. Andrew. Anyway, you know, the guy is managing the Chinese comedy group. We have a very pleasant evening. Just horse trading, you know. Lots and lots of fun. And I couldn't believe how much I had in common with Mike Vardy. It was delightful. It was delightful. Like, oh, yeah, whoa, that too. You know, starts off on beer and, like Dylan said, you start off in Burgundy and soon you hit the harder stuff. Anyway, we're not going to overdo this recording here because you know I have mixed feelings about the Eglinton Go parking station as a locale for podcasting because I always seem to be slurry when I'm here. And I just don't think that's quite right. Anything else to remark on? Looking forward to, absolutely, you bet your booties, Vox Pox Cock Socks or something like that. I think I got, which three, a multiple choice question, which of those three is correct, you know? Vox Cox Box. No, Vox Cox Knox. Vox Cox Socks. Vox Cox Socks. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have lots of fun. I did have a private and personal conversation with Anthony. Oops, Jesus, he listens to this podcast. Got to be careful what I say. We talked, actually, the talk that was very, very enjoyable with Mike Vardy. Talking about, I realized the fact that not only, okay, here it is. For you. I had to circle around to finally come to the point because I knew there was a reason why I was a bit surprised. We could talk together, the social media bigwigs, the names. We had things to say about Mitch Joel, CC Chapman, Chris Brogan, to name a few. And, of course, Julian. We had things to say about all of them. And I found them. I'm upholding my end of the conversation, boys and girls. We all know those people. We've all met those people. Oh, yeah. Stay tuned. And you might hear what were the things I had to say about those people. But wait, first of all, I got to get Cece to send me a copy of the book. Okay, that's a scoop. That's a scoop. Amazing things will happen. Cece, for fuck's sake, I'm not going to buy it, but I would very much appreciate it if you mailed me one. And I will talk about it on this podcast, just as Mitch Joel, yes, here it is, stay tuned, has promised me that he would have his person, secretary, one of his people, mail me a copy of Delete Alt Note, Note Alt Delete, Delete All Reset. It's three words. I know one of them is Delete, one of them is Alt Control. Maybe Delete Alt Control. I don't know. I haven't got the book yet. But I'm going to be talking about that in real life, in real terms, as I promised him and as I promised Cece. Send me the book and I'll give an opinion. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm doing this because I want to say, hey, guys, waving my hand, I'm important, too. Come on. Now, what I admired about Mitch, and I'm going to say this right now, because I haven't got the book yet, but I'm assuming it's in the mail. If it's not here in 2 weeks, I'm going to have to call and say, oh, geez, you know, you're just buying me off or what? That's not nice. But I don't think that's the case. And of course, I either way, he'll lose face, the secretary, you know. Yeah, he can tell me I had to fire her, you know. Hey, now he was on TV with fucking Kevin O'Leary. Now, we're talking about Masters. We're not talking about the little leagues here of, you know, social media. And, yeah, I got a marketing company. I'm gonna have a blog and a website. No, we're talking about a guy who's already deep in this business, who's learned also to make use of podcasting and the internets and everything else. Holy fuck. A guy who was already successful before any of this shit came along. That's who we're talking about, Mitch. Now, I said to Mitch, you know, Mitch, sometimes on my podcast, I have a little talk and I get these just fucking amazing ideas. But I realize now, thinking back, most amazing ideas are, why don't you give me $10,000 a year and I'll just be part of your brain trust. I'll be on, if you got some board or something, I'll sit on it. I'll show up and I'll give opinions on things, okay? And you just, I mean, you get this for, well, $12,000 a year, I think, you know. $1,000 a month, just, you know, have me on hand, need my opinion about something. But I've never quite had the nerve to bring it up with him. And then usually the next day I think, well, what exactly is it that you're going to give him that he'd want to pay you that money for? And by that point, it's a little slipperier. But anyway, I told Mitch, when I get these ideas, I like the idea of saying, holy fuck, Mitch, you know, we got to have a meal together, you know. Now, Mitch, and this is what I got to tell you, because he wrote back to me when he said to get the text to me. Something along the lines of, in regards to my, how about, you know, let's have a meal together. Something like maybe meet for a coffee sometime. Now, you're probably thinking, oh my God, I was put in my place offended by it. Not at all. No, no, no. I'm thinking, holy fuck. Now that is a master at business. Yeah, I got time for you. I'm acknowledging who you are. Yeah, I know who you are, you know. Yeah, have a cup of coffee. Don't fucking get a meal out of it. You know, prove. You got to have a little more than that, you know. I'm a busy guy, you know. You can't just sort of say, hey, we'll have a meal together. I think, you know, Ken's high and wants to talk to you. No, it doesn't work that way in the business world. But that opening, how many of you out there have got that little, you know, credit? Yeah, I'll have a coffee with you. And I could hold Mitch to that and we'd have a coffee together and I'd be very happy. I can picture it right now. Mitch would be wearing black and a bald head. I'll be sitting there and I'd be thinking, holy fuck, man, hey, whoa, you got 15 minutes, 20 minutes, most, maybe 10. And I bet you somebody else is going to show up there, too, and somebody else will be, yeah, of course, because it won't be just me and Mitch. Probably all the few people he's, no, Mitch wouldn't do that. No, he wouldn't, you know, get all the coffee people together on a certain date. Okay, we're just going to, here's your guys, here's your coffee. You get one question each. I don't think Mitch would do that. I think what I'm looking for is a one-on-one, Mitch. Okay, that's what I'm getting. I don't mind not a meal. In fact, I'm happy with the coffee. I don't think I'd be able to sustain a conversation for a meal. You'd be on your fucking cell phone anyway. Jesus. Anyway, that's the tone I intend to take. Nothing but honesty from the Scarborough dude. You'd expect that none of you, including them, Cece and Mitch, wouldn't have any respect for me if I didn't come clean about, hey, I'm just going to tell like it is, guys. I'm leaning now, like what I told, Mike Vardy. Congratulations to him, too. He's got another book in the works. We'll just have kind of a contest, you know. Maybe that was Andrew's idea, you know. Announce which one's better, you know. Do that. Now, you can't compare apples and oranges. But certainly, I was prepared, you know, with the title, Things Will Get Awesome. What is it, Things Will Get Awesome? Stay tuned. It gets better. Awesome things will happen. That's it. I was prepared to be very cynical about it. Nah, yeah, right, I've read these books. I know what you're talking. I know. Mike Vardy said, no. This is a good read. So already, Mike has got a little bug in my ear that, no, this is worth reading. And so already, like that bit of influence, it's like a wind in a sail, you know? Like suddenly, holy fuck, now I'm leaning real heavy towards, you know, awesome things will happen. Now, I don't know how I'll relate to Control-Alt-Delete because I don't even know if it'll relate to my life, but awesome things. Hey, whoa. Yeah, me too. Come on. Let me in on that one. Anyway, I guess I'm just probably beginning to ramble a bit here. We got on for a bit in the Eglinton Go parking lot. Soon ready to make my way home down the back road. And it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. By the way, I think I've resolved something. This business, whole business about number 400, change it up, do that. Like, no. Whoa. That was just a test for me to see. You're going to keep things the way they are, and the answer is I'm fucking keeping things the way they are. This is my style, my show. This is the way I like to do it. You get an hour a week. Boom. That's it. Three segments. Sometimes more. Okay. Talk to you later. Thank you.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. don't have to worry. If you hold on to Jesus' hand, we'll all be safe from Satan. When the thunder rolls, we just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. Jesus' mighty sword, and they'll shield you with their wings and keep you close to the Lord. Don't pay heed to temptation, for his hands are so cold. You gotta help me keep the devil way down in the hole. 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 You gotta help me keep the devil. Down in the hole.
Tick. Gotta get my voice in shape. I've been kind of silent for the past few hours. Oh, nothing unusual about that, I guess. Being on my own. Yeah. I've been reading and writing emails. And just a few too many emails. And just taking care of business. Man, oh man. It is yours truly on June the 4th. Here at Bluffers Park, you could have guessed from that background. And it's a delightful day. God, the weather, it's sunny, bright. You know, everything is in full greenage, all the trees. And, but it's this little gentle breeze. It feels a bit like fall weather, which I just love. Perfect, absolutely perfect. Light breeze, but it just makes the trees look nice. You know, the way the leaves just kind of catch the sunlight and dapple and dance and all that stuff. Anyway, you didn't tune in to get a weather report, did you? I've had a very productive day, and I feel kind of good about that. I'm not finished yet, but this is the first day of my second class. This is the class on individual counseling. I sort of did the introduction course and walked away with an A+, which I earned. I earned that. I really did put a lot into it, did my absolute best, never missed a class, blah, blah, blah. Kept that online journal, which was really fun, and I'm tempted already to do another, but we've got a fairly heavy workload. One of the things we have to do, which is going to be great, is film, you know, use our iPhones or whatever, to make a 10-minute sort of a mock counseling session with somebody else. And then critique it afterwards about your body language and, you know, how you did. Great exercise. I've done these before, you know, when I was doing teacher training, man. Before going to Nigeria, we had to do that. And as a teacher, of course, you're doing that all the time, teacher trainer of adults. So it's a good exercise. And then a few reflection papers and, you know, basically our position on counseling, our stance, you know, where are we coming from, and one at the beginning, one at the end. Anyway, you don't need all the details. All you need to know is that the Scarborough Dude is very happy to be in his second course. I just get fired up. I find it so stimulating getting a new book, new things to do. I'm just like that keen little kid, which I never was, you know, when I was young. God. Although I always love fall, going to school back in Montreal. You know, you got your new corduroy pants every fall. It's true. And, you know, your mom picked them out. You didn't buy them yourself. We used to order stuff from the Simpsons catalog. I think it was might have been cheaper than Eaton's. I don't know. True stuff. But, you know, new pencils, new books, and it was always the beginning. Who's in your class? Who's your teacher? You know, that first week you're all psyched up. And after that, oh, fuck, I got homework. Hate it. But I'm just the opposite now. I'm just loving this homework. Looking at what I got to do and when I got to do it. She looked over at me and said, Ken, I can just see the wheels turning. You're already working on your assignments. And it was true in my head. I'm just going, bam. I've already picked who I want to do the mock interview with. I'm going to use my office, which is set up like a counseling office anyway. It's being used as one. So that just, you know, the system, the brain, it's like feeding, adding vitamins to your brain doing this. I just get so stimulated, and it fires off so many, you know, synapses, so many connections, so many memories, so many visions. It just works for me. I've really got to have a talk with my son. I'm kind of changing topics here, I guess. I told him today, I came home and I said, look, we got to have a talk, because our communication is getting worse and worse. Yesterday, my elder son Skyped from Thailand, where he's doing some teaching, and he had bought some watches for $5 a piece, really neat, and he wanted to send one to his brother, and his brother wouldn't come to the computer because he was in the middle of a game. He couldn't leave it in the middle. And the older son, well, no, that's okay. He's gaming. It doesn't matter. That's fine. But I was pissed. I was angry. I thought that's wrong. Now, I could have gone in there and, you know, done the old forceful thing and yanked out the plug. But you don't do that to a 21-year-old. You know, you might do a kid. Although you're always hoping reason will work. And I did. I suppose I follow the approach my father does, which is shame. And that doesn't work very well. So basically, I just wanted to call a meeting with him to say, look, we've got to find some way of improving our communication, because it's not working right now. He's finished school, more or less. You know, I came home gleaming to tell him I got an A, and I don't, or an A plus, sorry. I don't feel bad about that. I think he should know. His dad, you know, at the age of 65, is keen and studying. His mom's working hard. And, hey, take a lesson from your parents and apply yourself. But he has learning issues, and I just don't know what works for him. Like, I got on my computer today. I know I'm wandering. Don't worry about it. I have this database I called Bento. It's like a file, a simpler version of FileMaker, more easily to adapt and take control of. And it's been the perfect tool for use for planning this program. You know, you bring in 31 girls for 3 weeks, you have to have everything accounted for. Everything, like the name tags. Okay, you got to go out and buy the little plastic holders. You got to find the font, the right size, so the first name is really big letters and the smaller family name is just smaller, but they're all identified. You got to print those before they arrive. You got to give them out on the bus on the way to the school, so that when you match them up with the whole stay family and you say, okay, call the family's name, call the girl's name, they stand together, you take a photograph, and instantly you've got that girl with a name tag with the big letters that you can see clearly in the photo, and you can identify her the next day. And you give a set to your teachers so they know who's who and who's staying with who. Like, I've worked this out. 20 years, I've got it worked out really nicely. So today, I've got 95 main tasks. And each of those tasks might be quite complicated. Like, you know, today was applying for the 35 t-shirts, certain size, certain conditions, with the same logo and so on that Shane hates, on the back and front. You know, and you've got to get impressed. There's so much to it. But my point was, I get thrilled by the organization because you can take... Oh, fucking Sea-Doos, thank you. I can take that data. Each one would be, like, each chore would be like a card, you know, with, okay, I can drag and drop emails. Any email I send to anybody. Do you... I know you may not want to hear about this, but I have to tell you. I'm ordering liability insurance. Here's another example. Great. I send an answer out to them, and I attach a document, and then I just drag that email directly into this database, and boom, it's there forever as a record. And I can click on it and open it again. Yeah, all right, on June 4th, I sent in my first proposal. Boom, another little place for a document holder. Just drag and drop the PDF file that I just sent her showing the dates and the conditions of our tour. Boom, I got notes from last year telling me exactly what the cost was and when I sent it. It's just beautiful. And I'm telling you, it's just, you get excited. And then you can see them all like as a spreadsheet format. Just click another where it show me every task, all 95 in a straight list, like an Excel sheet. And then sort it any way you want. What's done, what's not done. What's got to be done in May. So for each item I have, like, the months are numbered. I did that yesterday. 05, 06, 07. What's got to be done in June? What's got to be done in May, June, July? Sort them that way. And you can see at a glance. Wait a minute. Something was supposed to be done in May. There's no check mark beside the box. Holy shit, it's June now. Better get on that. Fuck, that's neat. And for somebody with myself, with... perhaps a fading memory, although I don't think my memory is all that bad. This is just, it's fun on top of it. It's exciting to use software in a way that you've adapted, you've twisted it. I'm not saying I'm doing programming. No, I'm just taking advantage and making good use of a piece of software. It's fun. I get thrilled. And I guess I wanted to kind of share that with my son and say, look, because he can't keep track of dates and times. And I'd like to show him, look what I do. But the thing is, it might even drive a further wedge, you know? I'm not like my dad. I don't like that shit. Oh, so, have we covered a lot of ground? Yeah, I'm excited to be taking a new course. And I'm very, very keen on this idea of counseling. And going forward with it. I am finding that I'm having more engaging conversations with my friends now, and I'm sort of another voice or another self is watching over the conversation, watching me ask questions and making a note of the particular questions or the way I say it or the way I react or the way the other person reacts. So talking to several people recently, it seems like I'm throwing in a new dimension to the whole thing, because I do listen to friends. I do encourage friends to open up, and I want people to feel comfortable with me. So, boy, oh boy, am I on a blabbing roll. I wanted to comment on something else altogether. I've been answering emails all day because our annual general meeting is finally coming up. June 20th, the day I officially stepped down, resigned from the board of the Canada Japan Society, and just last night I got an invitation to meet the new ambassador, and I'm, fuck! Because they're kind of neat, those events. You get an invite to the Consul General's house, which is a very nice house, and it's some beautiful Japanese artwork, and I've been there so many times. You're greeted at the door, there's a maid, there's a butler, somebody's got a tray of drinks and whatever you want. Bam, that guy's going to come to you with a nice glass of white wine or red wine or a cold beer or whatever. And you can just keep an eye on him the whole evening, and he'll be getting you a drink. And then it's a very, very nice buffet dinner, and they just load up a complete table full of really good Japanese food, and you just make your way around. And meanwhile, you got your suit and tie on, and you're chatting with people representing various organizations. And I always know I would probably say 60-70% of the people there, not always by name, but certainly by face. And it's just fun. And today, in fact, 10 minutes ago, I had to send a regret to the office of the Consul General and say I am unable to attend, and in my place I would like to send our new president, our good buddy Etobicoke Joe, although I didn't use that name. Yeah, Etobicoke Joe has taken over. I would like to send him instead. And it was the first reminder that, hey, shit, man, you've committed to this. You're not doing it. I know it's the right time, but, you know, I've told you before that that little opportunity to be, actually be introduced to the Emperor of Japan, that was a big deal. That was a big deal, and I'm not going to get any more of those. Like, I'm a nobody now. But the thing is, Etobicoke Joe has started a new company on his own, and this is perfect for him. And he's basically been running the organization. I've just been in this... I jokingly say I'm just his puppet, you know, the front man, the king who has no power. But it's been a great run. That's winding down, but, you know, that puts me midway through this course and all the assignments. So this is sort of another whole new direction for my energy to go towards. Can you tell I'm fired up and excited? I really, really am. And just... I'm sitting here at one of those most glorious vantage points on a bench, looking out at this little curved inlet. I suppose I should take a picture. Where the boat's coming in. It's a little bit sheltered. In fact, I'm looking across at the point where I used to like to sit under the big weeping willow. Doug knows the place. Bob Goyetch knows the place. Soon, Dr. Dave Broadbeck is going to know the place because we're going together to Halliburton, Halifax, Hamilton, for Anthony Marco's storytelling conference. I'm thrilled about that. I'm just thrilled about everything in life. God damn it. Do you remember the last episode? I was a little bit down. Oh, yeah. Speaking of being down, I was talking to Tim Coyne the other day, and that's just out on a new podcast, my Talking to Tim number 4. So we've actually got a series going, and we're committed to doing a few more. You can find that. I'll put a link up on the Dixon Janes blog spot. There's always a link to another blog I have called Having Said That. And I'm using Having Said That to post all my Talking to Tim episodes. It was going to be something else some other time. In fact, it was in this very park, Buffers Park, where I came up with that name. So that's a great one. Going to do that. I am, speaking of which, I'm kind of sorry that I, what was it called? The Dick Show never really got going. That was when I lost my Apple ID and had to re-put things up. Thanks to, again, Rob and Catherine, Rob Lee, Catherine Matthews. Their generosity, they're like these people, you know, what do you call them, not dilettantes, but, you know, the rich people who sponsor artists and look after them. That's what they're doing for me. Thank you, guys. Much appreciated. Oh, there come a couple of Canada geese with all their little babies swimming together. It is the most beautiful, beautiful. It just warms your heart seeing this family scene, like they're looking after them. They're just programmed. They know what to do, but they're just floating together. You can see the, you can't see them, but you know those little web feet are just kicking away and moving them towards the shoreline. Oh, it's lovely. Oh, so much to be happy about. Anyway, yeah, talking to Tim, a great conversation. I do love Tim Coyne in a manly way. Thank you. Fine guy, and it's so much fun that we're sort of doing this back and forth. So please give that a listen sometime. I think you might enjoy them too. Tim asked me a few questions. I asked him a few, and we go from there. Oh, I guess, gee, maybe I might even bring it in. Is there anything else? I mean, I usually have a downer note by this point, but I think I'm going to stay away from anything that's topical, anything that's in the news. We'll skip that. I've got a new book to read. I promise my wife I'd take her out tonight. We'll buy a bird feeder together so that she can look out the kitchen window and see, I don't know, hummingbird feeder or something. We'll go to Canadian Tire, see what we can find. I always say, on sale, though, on sale. But probably, probably have to bite the bullet, use my Canadian Tire points. That's why I use my credit card for everything, my Canadian Tire credit card. It's a special black card now. They've pushed me up another limit. And you get lots of money back for everything you buy there. And so I can go in and, you know, boom, $100, it's covered. Free on my Canadian Tire points, yeah. Okay, didn't mean to get into that. What else? Listening to other people, listening to other podcasts, watching Mad Men. Trying to lose a little bit of weight, so I'm just being a little bit more aware of the carbohydrates. I gave up fresh bread for a week, and then I bought a loaf, and my wife had gone shopping the same time, came home with a loaf, so we got two loaves of, you know, this. I love this, you know, ancient flax grains bread, you know, whole meat, wheat meal, or whatever. Just, it's so good when it's fresh and spongy, and I'll just put a little peanut butter on it, I try to do it. Okay, I can only have one slice. I can't put two slices together and make a full sandwich. I got to ration myself. Gave it up for a week, but now I realize I need it. I'm just not disciplined to follow a paleo diet or any of those other things. But I'll just take a little piece of that bread and try and savor it. That's what you should be doing with all your food anyway. Chew, boy, chew. Taste it. Whew. Guess I should slow down. That was a bit of a rush. I wasn't even going to talk at all. I was just going to drive on home because I want to get out on the deck while it's still sunny and do a little reading for my book. I got to read chapter 4 for tomorrow. Holy fuck, man, I got work to do, and I'm still firing off, replying to emails, forwarding things. Ton of shit still to do, but sometimes I just work better under pressure. If things can slide, I'll let them slide. But when things come to a crunch and you got deadlines, I always come through. I always come through. And I have a way of sort of letting the important tasks get done, and things that, you know, are second edge. I should set up a new Facebook page just for this tour. It was, oh my God, that means befriending everybody, and no, maybe that's not such a good idea. And I should set up a new blog for us, share all our photos. And there's a lot of ways I could make this program better. And if I was young and just starting out, I would. But since my client is very satisfied now and they have a very, very, very touchy about privacy issues and so on, it's probably not such a good idea to try and put too much out there that's open to the general public. You know, I am responsible for 31 16-year-old Japanese girls coming to Canada. I don't want to take any unnecessary risks. Okay, winder down there. Oh, 20 minutes, sorry. Back soon. I don't know what else will be in this podcast, but what does it matter? You're here now, and here's a tune for you. Enjoy. Bye-bye. I just know I will never stop. No. Hello. Hello. Letterman says that, I guess, eh? It's a good line. I like it. Hello. In fact, I love it. Hello. All right. Sorry. Bluffers Park, Friday morning. I drove all around Scarborough. I drove around down where? Long Lawrence. And then all the way to Morningside, then all the way along Kingston Road, all the way looking for a breakfast place. I just felt I want to get out. I want to have just, you know, bacon and eggs and coffee, toast, home fries if you got them. And I couldn't find any place anywhere. And then I went back to a place that I used to use called By the Bluffs. Lovely little restaurant, an old diner. And it's now called, Asian Fusion Kitchen or something. Or something really fancy. Oh, shit, I had it here. Anyway, it was open again. Completely redone. But they had a sign on the door saying, same breakfast. Because they couldn't afford to lose the local clients. So they had the seniors breakfast. Super Sushi House. Oh, that's it. Super Sushi House. No, Super Kitchen. Okay. Hang on. That's the other one. This one is Super Kitchen Restaurant. It's a chain. Oh, Jesus Christ. Noisy fucking garbage truck. Well, you like background noise, don't you? Yeah. Anyway, it was the, By the Bluffs. So an entirely redone, same fancy booth, big, you get a great big square plate, you know, to have your breakfast on. It's kind of funny. I was the only one there. And a senior's breakfast, an unbelievable deal. And grand opening, 10% off everything. Oh, my God. But I'm just happy to have a place. Sometimes you just want to go out for breakfast and be alone, sit in a booth, read a little bit, you know, check in on your iPad. Listen, I'm going to have to turn. Do I have to open these fucking windows or close them or what? Jesus Christ. There, is that a little better? Keep one open. So I felt good. That's my morning. I thought it was going to be a very slow start to the day. It's kind of a lazy start. I didn't get to bed till after 2. I went to Ichimoku Kai. That is the first Thursday meeting for the Canada-Japan Society. And always lots of fun. Always nice young Japanese ladies showing up who don't speak much English and need to practice, and that's why they come, and people are drinking beer and eating Japanese food. It's at the, it's in the Grange, which is opposite Okan, which is the College of Art and Design, that wonderful big block building on stilts in Toronto, if you know it. And this place is called Manpuku. First Thursday every month, drop in, you'll meet lots of friends. They give out door prizes, too. Jeff's always giving out bottles of sake and free tickets to this and that. It's great. And then I suddenly got a phone call from my cousin, Cousin Zeke. Is it Cousin Zeke or Cousin Abe? No, Cousin Abe is the West Coast. Cousin Zeke is Russell. And he was there with his son. I hadn't seen him for a long time. His son got a job with an international airlines, and the two of them were able to fly everywhere. So they had a tour all over India, just amazing. A lot of catching up to do about family stuff, and I talked about my counseling course and our plans for the summer, because he knew all the same characters. We got a long history. Cousin Zeke showed up on Vancouver a few episodes ago. I talked about Vancouver in the 70s, and that's when he showed up, right in the midst of a party. It was a day, right, one of those wild, crazy parties. And we've had a good relationship ever since, but we were talking about the 70s in Vancouver and the, it's not availability, but the frequency of things like one-night stands. You meet somebody in a bar and you go back to their apartment or they come back to yours or whatever. And you wake up the next morning, holy fuck, what did I do? And it was just a free time. And Etobicoke Joe was with us and he's just thinking, oh shit, you know, you guys kind of, you were lucky to have that degree of freedom and craziness. And I suppose it was, but it's still, You know, I think of it as you think about, I guess, maybe Hollywood in the 80s with their coke freaks and everybody just getting wasted. In a way, we were like that. It was more alcohol fuel than anything, alcohol and dope, but certainly a lot of alcohol. And maybe the women weren't quite as beautiful as what you'd find in Hollywood, but the times were pretty wild and pretty crazy, you know. Told you. Big John, the fellow who died in the Czech Republic, made himself president of a hot tub company. And just so we can have good parties. Anyway, I didn't want to talk about that. I want to talk about resistance. It's just the latest chapter. I'm reading my book, and I go through my textbooks with a yellow highlighter. This one is by Gerald Corey called The Art of Integrative Counseling. And it means you have to be a good counselor, you have to have different approaches to counseling. You know, and they talk about these various psychoanalytic and existential and client-centered or person-centered and all these others. And an integrative counselor sort of says, well, I can use a bit of this, a bit of this. Depending on the situation, the stage you're at with your client, your client's own proclivities. We're talking about resistance. Resistance is defined typically as an individual's reluctance to bring into conscious awareness threatening material that has previously been repressed or denied. And I wonder how many of you Dixon Janes out there have that previous material you just don't want to think about. You just, boy, put a lid on it and that's not coming back. I brought that up because I realized as we talk about this and emotions, I am not good at crying. I can't cry. I very, very, very rare occasions, I couldn't even tell you the last time. I mean, I get weepy. That's not a problem. I get sentimental. I'll watch a movie and there'll be a touching scene and I'll just get all weepy and it's the easiest thing will set me off. And that's kind of a nice crying. That's just, ah, little kitty cat, I feel that. And of course, you know I get angry. That's much easier for me. But to actually cry for my own pain, I can't do it, and I'm really afraid of it. It's that feeling that maybe some of you men out there, men, can identify with, that, man, if I started crying, I might not be able to stop. I might just have whole fucking Niagara Falls come out of me. And I think that's why you just want to keep a lid on it, keep the brakes on. No, 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 man, I'm not going there. No, 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 no. And especially if it happened to be in front of other people. Like, we do some role plays, during our class, and I got to work with somebody yesterday who I had never met before, but he was an enigma to me. I didn't know who he was. I couldn't tell from the comments he'd make in class anything about him. Where's this guy coming from? But everybody else knew him from previous courses. I was the newbie. And we did a very good role-playing session. You know, we took turns being the counselor, and we just, there was no role-play. We're just telling it like it is. You know, he talked about his daughter, his wife, his marriage, his search for the perfect partner. I talked about my relationship with Chuck. I haven't used the name Chuck for a long time. Chuck and Jerry, my two sons. Talked about actually both Chuck and Jerry and my relationship with them. And then last night with Cousin Zeke, talked about our wives, our lives. Oh, and I know something that I found very interesting, that we both agreed. We seem to be quite happy these days. Like, I'm really, really happy and excited sitting in that class, you know? You think, oh, God, another class, got to go. No, man. I'm there because I want to be there, and I want to learn new stuff, and I want to be challenged. I want to answer questions. I want to think. It's a tremendously wonderful, invigorating, stimulating, exciting feeling to have all that. And we both realize that it may have something to do with age. He's also maybe a year older, 66 maybe. That when you reach this stage of life, and he sort of bracketed it 65 to 75 because we've heard other people talk about it, you get into a zone. And, you know, it's all funny to think, man, you're just old, you know, old and grumpy. And, yeah, some things might piss you off. But you get into the zone where you're sort of comfortable in your own skin. I guess that's part of it. And you don't have a whole lot to prove anymore. That, of course, is great. You're a little more confident. You can look back on your life, you know, maybe, if you're fortunate, look back with a sense of maybe pride and happiness, the way things have turned out. And you get to this stage, this zone, and it feels really good. And it's a nice place to be operating from. So there you go. So I've got a whole chapter. I got three chapters to read this week, and I had two papers to write also for Tuesday and Wednesday. I wrote both of them. And that's the other thing. I love the writing. I love just staring at that computer screen and then just choosing the right word. Maybe I've told you this before. I'm sorry. But rephrasing and going back and revising and just substituting this word instead of that, or just change the word order just a little bit, and just to get it just right. God damn, it feels good, so that it actually flows and reads. The joy of writing. Oh, there's a reminder. What is it I have to do at noon on Friday? Let's see. Do you want to know? You want to look with me? What reminder came up? Oh, shit. Get a quote to tear up the carpets and polish the floors upstairs. The one thing I don't want to do. Fuck, another one. Get a quote for a new front step and a driveway. It's sort of being to cave in around the garage door. And there's a hole, I mean a big hole, that goes right under the concrete block, which is our front stoop or step. And that's got to be fixed. Fuck. Oh, those are the jobs. Those are the things I put off so I can come to Bluffers Park and talk to you. And then those things come in. Yesterday we did a great reading on mindfulness. And it was about meditation and ways of meditating and walking meditation and sitting and focusing on your breathing. And it was really good, the reasons why we'd want to do this. Oh, just a minute, for Christ's sake, I'm just opening the fucking window. There we go. And it brought back my transcendental meditation days, you know, that first experience of TM back in 1971, and it was kind of exciting to go through, yeah, and the whole how you do it, like when you're meditating or concentrating on your breathing or your mantra or whatever it is you do, you surrender. Now, I've used that word before, surrender, in a negative light. And this is a surrendering to your own self, your own mind. If the thoughts float to the surface, don't get carried away and think, oh, that's disturbing, or that's shitty, or why did I have that thought? But just let that thought express itself and be gone. Let that little bubble rise to the surface, and then, boom, get back to your mantra, get back to your breathing, the in, the out, whatever. And then another thought comes, and it might be dark, and you stand back, and you look at that thought from a distance. You detach yourself. I am not that thought. That thought is arising in my brain that that's not me. And you can distance yourself and just let them go and watch them almost in fascination. You don't want to spend all your time watching your thoughts. You want to keep coming back to that here and now, this experience. But part of it is... you know, not getting little computer reminders telling you, all right, 12 o'clock Friday, get busy, you got things to do, you got people to call, you got quotes to get. God, how that pains me. And it's not about spending all the money, it's just, I don't want to get gypped. I don't want some contract, oh yeah, we can do that, yeah, it'll cost you $5,000, this, that, and I don't know, you know. You're telling me? So yeah, you got to get three. Oh, for fuck's sake. Are you serious? Three goddamn people to come in and talk to them and spend the time and set the dates and the times to do stuff just so I can give them money? God damn it, man. But I have to do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. And god damn. That's the other thing about this book that I just loved. I'll find it. Of course, I go through with a highlighter when I find stuff that I think is so cool. And this was about letting go. Oh, it wasn't on here. It wasn't here at all. It wasn't in this book. It was in my other chapter about, basically, we carry loads that we don't need to. And that is just so true. And, like, I don't need to know now while I'm talking to you that, oh, fuck, I gotta go back, look up, go on Google, go to Angie's List, go to the Yellow Pages, whatever. Find contractors, pick one. Oh, shit, man, I hate doing that crap. I wish somebody else would do it for me. Now, there's a business model. Julian's got a nice little business model of, renting out these spaces. You need an office space? Yeah, bam. register with us, use your cell phone, bam, it opens the door, you got the space as long as you need it, and out you go. Oh, lovely little red-winged blackbird. Nice. So the idea of having somebody who's going to do this shit for you, and give them, you know, 10% commission, whatever, hey, you save me, you show me how much you save me, you get the quotes. I mean, you'd have to get an honest guy. But have them set it up. It's the same way, if I had got somebody else to buy my car for me, you find what the deals are. I want a Mazda 3, you know, these features. You find it, and you get a cut, you know. Show me what you're saving me. Show me what the various quotes are. And either you get a percentage of the savings or something, you know. I need that. It's nice when you're rich, Hollywood star, and you got other people, your servants, doing all your shit for you. But when you're just the guy who's got to do everything, it's one fuck of a load to carry. Like, I got this course to do, which the problem is, because the course is so much fun, this is what I do first every day. And I can fill my time not feeling guilty because, hey, I'm studying. Jesus Christ. You're going to after me? I'm studying. Fuck, leave me alone. Knowing that, wait a minute now, I got 31 girls coming in a matter of weeks, and I haven't got host families for them yet. Holy fuck, man, what are you doing sitting in goddamn Bluffers Park? Get off your ass and get your shit together, man. You got work to do. And didn't you promise your wife you're going to get that driveway fixed and that carpet's ripped up and the floor's polished? And God damn it, man, what are you doing? Doing your fucking podcast. And that's exactly why I'm doing my fucking podcast. Because it just gives me this, oh man, a bit of a breather, you know? I make notes sometimes. I'm in class. There's my fucking clipboard. Here it is. I'm in class, and I get an idea, and I said, well, that's a Dixon Jane's idea. That's not a counseling idea. So let me just look and see what I wrote yesterday. God, my notes are just so disgusting. Oh, my immigration refugee board job? No. That Great Expectations, that school I worked for that I hated so much. Two jobs I hated before. I'm in the zone I am now and in this happy place. So it's not just that you always are in the best place. Fuck, that was a terrible job at the IRB as a clerk. And that was a horrible teaching job for shit wages from a corrupt, stinking company way the fuck out in Rexdale. Driving the 401 every goddamn day. Fuck, that was an awful period of my life. The randomness of taking this... No, that's not it. Letting go with podcasting. I guess that's it. About this mindfulness. Oh, it's just surrendering and letting go of just, you know... Don't carry all that weight now. Don't keep thinking of all the things you got to do next week, next month. Be now. What are you doing now? Well, right now, we're sitting here in Bluffers Park. And if I'm not enjoying this, as I'm here with you now, then I'm a complete and utter asshole. Because I'm not anywhere else. I'm not at my computer. You know, I'm not at the telephone calling host families. Do you think you can take a girl again this year? I'm sitting here in Bluffers Park with the Tweety Bird singing. And that's what I got to be tuned into. I'm doing my time as I like to do, talking to you on the Dixon Jane's podcast. Oh, yeah. Shut down from being overwhelmed. Shut down from being overwhelmed. Sometimes, yeah, when you have so much work to do, so much, and you're, oh, my God, I got to do this and that. The things I just told you, the fucking quotes for the house repair and the things for the girls coming this summer, and oh my God, after that, the day they leave, I'm off to Nova Scotia on a van. I got to pack and plan a route. Oh my God, all that. I get so much ahead of me, but if I'm dealing with that now when I'm not dealing with it, I'm an asshole. You can't do that. If you're not doing it now, let it go, let it go, let it go. Don't carry that burden when you can't do anything about it. Sometimes when you get so much of this shit on your mind, you just shut down. You just, boom, I'm done. I can't think anymore. I'm just going to go have a nap. And I do that often enough. And it's probably a good thing. It's just an automatic, you know, a breaker switch. Boom, I'm out. fuck you, not doing it anymore. And I think that's why I so often come to Buffers Park. Boom, hey, my time, I need it, thank you. The rest of the stuff will get done when it gets done. But right now, I need to be here with you, my darling boys and girls. Oh yeah, last thing, somebody talked about, we were talking about mindfulness, and he compared it to tuning a guitar, and it was really nice. And he said, you know, you've got to tune each string to get the notes to follow each other so that you can strike the perfect chord. Now, I listened to that, and I understood it perfectly what he was saying. Yeah, and I'm visualizing, and everybody else in the class going, wow, woo, that's neat. And I realized then, I have no knowledge, understanding, comprehension of music. I was never taught. My father played banjo. Jesus, my sister played piano. I had a fucking set of drums. Bang, 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 boom, boom, boom. Didn't understand anything. It's all I was capable of. And even that I couldn't do. But this idea of a whole other language that I don't know. And I'm just so impressed that people do. And I'm just shocked that this was not part of my education. Maybe it was somewhere. All I remember is that Ball had a guy, I think we called him Uncle Chichimus or something, a music teacher. What was his name? I don't know. Funny looking guy. He would call you in and you had to stand in front of him and he'd make you sing something. And it was the most humiliating, embarrassing thing as a teenager to come into the room and he'd strike a couple of notes on the piano and they give you a mark for that? Jesus Christ, what the fuck kind of school did I go to? Is it a retard school? Sorry, but, and yet other people, of course, were gifted and could sing along and I don't know, somehow I got the credit, I passed, but I didn't learn any. I didn't learn how to write music or notes. It's a shame. It's oh my God, I've gone on so long, but it's just such a hole in my knowledge base. It's such a hole in my learning and understanding, and it's too late now. Fuck that. But I do get the analogy. Somebody else had thoughts, these floating thoughts. He said, I think of them as birds that are flying through my head, and I just let them keep on flying because I'm not going to let any one of those thoughts nest inside me. Ooh, that's a good one, too. Anyway, boys, girls, I've gone on for far too long. I don't know what's before this. I don't know what's after this. I don't know where we're going. I don't know when you're going to get this. It's not going to be Friday morning because it's already Friday noon. So take care, and thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in once again to the Dixon James podcast, number 404. Last point. City of Richmond Hill, just north of here, mainly Chinese, heavily Chinese populated, passed a bylaw that houses can no longer have the number 4 as their address. They do allow 14 and I believe 24 and so on, but not the number 4 because Chinese people won't buy it. Houses sell for much less, if at all, if the address is 4 on the street. And some people think this is the most insane, stupid thing. And others, enough people on the city council passed the bylaw to say, no, well, sorry, we understand the sensitivities of some of these people. I bring this up because Tim Coyne and I talked about the dreaded podcast number 4, which we just finished, which you should listen to if you haven't already. I'm talking to Tim. Find that on the Having Said That podcast about number 4. And sure enough, I didn't realize till after, but at the beginning of that podcast, we talked about death. You know, I was afraid Tim would have a driving accident while recording and driving at the same time on those Los Angeles fucking freeways. Anyway, bam, we're done. Talk to you at the end of this or next week or whenever the fuck. Bye for now.